For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
All right. Good evening, ladies. All right, Parshas Vayeshev. So what I want to learn tonight is a Maharal. It's going to be focused on one of the earlier Rashis in the Parsha. It's a Maharal that I think has tremendous psychological insight into the way that we function in our interpersonal relationships. He's going to say something tonight that if he would not be the one to say it, this is sometimes you have to read something inside. Because if I would say this on my own outside, you would look at me and you would say, "You're not allowed to say that." So I'm not. I'm only going to say it because the Maharal says it, and we'll read his words inside as to what he says, and then we'll see how it applies to us. We're missing the first two words of the pasuk that we need to be dealing with. This is you'll note that this is the second pasuk in the parsha. The parsha begins Vayeshev Yaakov Ve'eretz Mugrei Aviv. Yaakov begins to dwell in the land of his fathers, and then the very next pasuk, the second pasuk in the parsha, is Eila told us Yaakov, and then we begin on our sheets in front of us. Eila told us Yaakov. Yosef ben Shvasre Shano Hayaroya Es Echav Batzon. These are the generations of Yaakov that told us the offspring of Yaakov. Yosef was 17 years old. He was a shepherd with his brothers of the flock. And now you'll note, this is the exact same problem we had in Parshas Noach. Eile told us Noach. So if you give me that introduction, these are the generations of Noach. The next phrase should be all of his children, Shem, Ham, and Yafes. And in Parshas Noach, we learned, Eile told us Noach, it says Noach Ish Tzadik. Took a little detour, and so Rashi there learned that really the primary told us of Noach was who he became. He was a righteous person. That's really what he left this world. So we have the exact same problem here. Eila told us Yaakov. What should the Parsha then have described after telling us Eila told us Yaakov? It should have said Reuven and Shimon and Levi and Yehuda and everybody else. And instead, Eila told us Yaakov, Yosef ben Shva Asreishon. Yosef was 17 years old. So the exact same issue. Why do we limit the told us here specifically only to Yosef? Rashi is going to give us three explanations. We're going to focus on one, which I have underlined. We'll mention the other two just to get the entire picture. Rashi says, number one, you have a question? Okay. That's fine.
So we built so much on the idea with Noah that his actions were his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't it say anything about Yaakov that way?
Right. Well, it would seem that therefore his legacy was Yosef. And if you took the same approach that we took to Noach, Eila told us Noach, it would be the same thing over here.
Fair, but the whole idea of was his actions and Yosef's
approach. Okay, 100%. Fair question.
The whole idea of that was,
yes,
if your children are not a measure of you, it's what you do with your life.
Yeah. It's a fair question.
Okay.
Fair question. I can't believe you're stealing my limelight. My whole life I've waited to get a few moments on camera and you're taking it. Oh my goodness. Okay. Did you get that? Okay. Okay, says Rashi. Eila told us Yaakov. Says Rashi, Eila Shell told us Yaakov. Rashi's first approach is, these are of the generations, meaning Yaakov is going to have a whole series of events. Eila Yishuvehen, these are the events which are going to eventually lead to Yaakov dwelling, settling down, events, and it begins with the story of Yosef. So that Rashi is reading it as not, these are the actual generations of Yosef, meaning these are not the children of Yaakov, but this is the story of the children of Yaakov, and it begins with Yosef because it's going to eventually come down to Mitzrayim, and they're going to become a nation. So Rashi sort of works out of that phrase. His second pshat, which is what we're going to focus on, I have underlined. Medrash Agada Dorish, says Rashi, what does it mean that Yosef seems to be the primary offspring of Yaakov? Tala HaKosov told us Yaakov be Yosef. The Torah seems to hang the principal generations or children of Yaakov onto Yosef. Yosef is the child of Yaakov. If you want one poster child of Yaakov, that's Yosef. Mipnei kama dvarim, says Rashi. And there are a couple of reasons why Yosef should be identified as the principal child. Achas, number one, says Rashi, shekol atzmo shel Yaakov lo avad eitzo lovan ela berachel. because Yaakov really only had one intention when he was working for his uncle Lavan, and that was to marry Rachel. And Rachel's first child that she presents and produces for Yaakov is Yosef. And therefore, that was his whole objective. His objective was to have children with Rachel. This is the first child of Rachel. Therefore, that's his principal child. So that's reason number one, says Rashi. Reason number two, Hayaziv Ikunon Shel Yosef Donalo. The regal appearance of his face was exactly the same. If you looked at Yaakov and you looked at Yosef, you would say, they're like twins, like father, like son. They just look the same way. There's a stately appearance. The radiance of his face was the same. And therefore, the principal child of Yaakov would be Yosef. Then Rashi has number three, which we're going to focus on tonight. V'chol ma she'iro li Yaakov, and everything that happened in life to Yaakov, iro li Yosef. Those same events also happened to Yosef. Zeh nistam. This one was hated. Yaakov was hated by his brother Esav. The Zenistam. And Yosef was also hated by his brother. Both of them were hated by their brothers. Yaakov by his brother, Yosef by his brothers. Ze Ochiv Mivakesh Lahargo. This one, his brother tried to kill him. Yaakov was tried to be killed by his brother Esav. The Ze Ochiv Mivakshim Lahargo. And Yosef also, look, he also had brothers who tried to kill him. The Chein Harbe. And you see many other examples of that. Says Rashi. Okay.
By the way, she has to buy our rights.
Yeah, I'm selling mine for a lot.
Okay. Where is she?
She lives here in the neighborhood.
Oh.
That was for the dinner. That was just for the dinner. Don't worry. Nothing important.
500 people are going to see our
pictures. It'll be less than 500 people. Relax. Okay, in any case, says Rashi, so why is Yosef identified as the principal child of Yaakov? Because they went through the same things in life. And Rashi brings two examples. This one is hated. Look, this one is hated. This one's brother tried to kill. This one's brother has tried to kill him. So they're the same. Look, they're the same. So if I want to know who's the principal child, it's Yosef. Because they went through the same things. So says Rashi. Says the morale, we need to understand that just because they went through a couple of the same things, so now they're the same. You want to know who is the principal child? Let's say a father has 12 children. So you say, well, the father, let's say he went to graduate school and he became a psychologist, and the other children did other things. This one became a doctor, a lawyer, a rav, who knows, whatever, businessman. So you say, well, who is my friend? Well, I went to graduate school to become a psychologist, and this child did. So it's like, same thing. I got married at 24, and this one child got married at 24. So we're the same. So what? So this child got married at 25, and so therefore you're not the same? This one became something else? Why does just because these same events happen to have happened, this one's brother hated him, and that one's brother hated him, this one's brother tried to kill him, so therefore Ela told us, Yaakov, it's Yosef. Yeah.
Well, but what is the most obvious one is that Yaakov loved him more than he had his son. He favored him.
Okay, so that is not even on our list. Excellent question. In other words, that's the fact that would not be considered his principal child, the fact that he loved him does not even rate on our list here. In other words, something else that Chazal are looking for as the toldos of Yaakov, not that Yaakov loved him. And we'll see in the Maral's answer, because that would be something subjective. That would be something that Yaakov, he liked him. But the Torah is saying there was something more fundamentally similar or analogous between them. So let's say what you said as a question. Rashi is saying Chazal hold the fact that they were both hated is more important, makes Yosef more a primary son than Yaakov loved him. I'll ask you, why? Who cares? Why is this more important? Says the Maral, it's far more important. Let's take a look at the Maral to say it again. He says it. I would never be able to say something like this. Says Maral in Oth Zion, back on page 2. Kol Mashi Irolo. Somehow, because they all experienced the same things. Mipnei Zeh starts the Maral. Hoya Iker Toldosov. Kimei Acher Shekol Mashi Irolo Yaakov. Irolo Yosef. Since whatever happened to Yaakov is eventually then going to happen again to Yosef. Mora Kihu Kare De Avo. That shows that he was, so to speak, on the knees of his father. He was the fulfillment of all of his father's life. And look, they experienced the same things. V'ramzu lanu Chazal, says the Maral, this is a remez Chazal giving us, Dvarim Nifloim. And to say that this one was hated, and this one was hated, and this one's brother, Dvarim Nifloim are hinted at in such a statement. I'm going to read the next couple lines straight through, and then we'll go back and talk about them. But I don't want to stop it in the middle to get the whole idea of what he says. Says the Maral as follows. Kilo Nistam Yaakov. Yaakov was not hated. V'lohoya Achiv Mivakesh Lahargo, and his brother Esav did not desire to kill him. Rak Mishum Etzem Ma'aloso. Why did Esav desire to kill Yaakov? Because of the essence of his ma'ila, of his stature, of what he became and what he represented. V'hainu Shehoya Yaakov Nivdal V'ma'aloso Mikol B'nei Adam. Yaakov was separated. He was distanced. He was something unique from all other people. So Esav wanted to kill him because he was different. He had a ma'ila, he had some type of advantage, some type of element to him, which elevated him above all other people. And because he was elevated above all other people, Esav wanted to kill him. Because both Yaakov and Yosef shared this godly element to them. Nivdol mehem. They were separated from others, and others felt separated from them. Ubishvil zem mivakshim lehargo. And that's why they were desired to be knocked off. Now again, the reason why I would never say this, Maral saying, the Shiftei Ka, Ruvain and Shimon and Levi and Yehuda, we're talking about the Shvatim here, desired to kill Yosef in the same way that Esav Harasha desire to kill his brother Yaakov. We're equating the two here. Esav is a Rasha. To say that Esav wanted to kill someone, we could say, no problem. He didn't like that Yaakov was better than him. Says Maral, Yosef had the same issue. He was Nivdal. He had Etzem Ma'aloso. So intrinsic to him was some quality which elevated him above his brothers, and his brothers hated him and wanted to kill him in the same way that Esav couldn't stand that Yaakov was intrinsically better than him. Ki kol nivdal lefishuhu nivdal b'ma'aloso, because anyone who is distant, anyone who is separated, because of the ma'ila of their being separated, mivakshim lahargo. From that comes the desire to get rid of it. V'dover zed divrei chachma me'od. This, says the Maral, is deep wisdom that Chazal are revealing. So that when Chazal say, why is Yosef the principal child of Yaakov? Because they shared a unique quality. It wasn't just that they said that the same things happened to them in life. I went to college and he went to college. No. Yosef, they tried to kill him. Yaakov, his brother, tried to kill him. There's something they share. Why were they tried to be knocked off? Because they were above, they were nivdal, they were more kadosh than their peers, and their peers therefore desired to kill them because of that. And they both shared that same ma'ila elokis, in the language of the Maral, that was the source of their desire to be killed. And when you're around somebody who is different, elevated, so to those of us below, that it's hard to deal with.
Is it threatening?
I don't know if it's threatening. We'll see. We'll look through a bunch of other words the Maral uses to describe this and try to understand this. Let's just a layer at a time. Says there's this concept that I recognize you as different from me. We're not the same. This is it. So says the Maral. So what the magnificent application of the Maral here is, it's one thing to say anti-Semitism. The Maral is saying Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun also had it. In looking at Yosef, and they saw a ma'ila elokis, there was something spiritually different about Yosef than the qualities that they had. And in seeing that, it arouses a literal hatred and a desire to kill. I can't say these words. Ralph says them. Ralph saying Chazal are telling us that.
Jealousy.
So where is the jealousy coming from? It's a jealousy of a spiritual greatness. It's a unique element of jealousy. It's not just as it says, you have a bigger house than me. You're more prestigious or have more honor in the community than I do. You have a nicer car. I don't like that. It's that I see, I have my own spiritual quest. I want to be spiritual. I want to be inspired. This is coming from a good place. and I see that you are intrinsically more inspired than me. There's something about you that's more spiritual, and I can't deal with that.
Wait, what good place is it coming from Esau?
Meaning, in other words, if you only would have said Esau, I would have said, it's Rishus. This doesn't teach us anything about ourselves, or not anything less. But the Maral says, Chazal is saying, it's not just Esau. These are the Shivtei Ka also suffered from this.
This is also Cain and Havel. Why did Havel get so upset?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Exactly. That's right. So when I say good place, meaning I want to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to do that which is right, I want to be spiritual and be Ruchni, and I see that in relation to that, I'm not Ruchni, I'm Gashmi. I'm mundane. I walk out of my house feeling I'm real Ruchnius. And yeah, I have to deal with the world around me, but really, I'm a Ruchnius-like person. And then I run across her. And I see myself in relationship to her as really still pretty mundane. I'm really still pretty Gashmi. I'm not as Ruchni as I thought. And that arouses very negative feelings.
We don't have that kind of state. Do we have that really the state? Like someone.
Maybe you. I'm glad to hear that you do not. But.
No. It's not as great as what they had. That feeling of I'm going to come kill you because.
Right. Well, that's a little bit stronger. But I would say we have probably feelings of jealousy.
But not to the point where they.
Okay, 100%. Almost everything on the levels of the others were a little bit lower down. But yeah. But there's an idea that we have here that the morale is expressing.
No, I understand that, but not like you said, it's a lower level of.
I would hope we don't actually get.
Lead me to kill you.
I would hope not, but in other words, but when we sometimes see either in ourselves or in other human stories that we hear about, this is a powerful experience, and it's aroused by someone being just a tzaddik. They're just righteous. They're not doing anything wrong. They're really not. They're just. On a different plane. And when we want it, it's hard to deal with. So says Maral. Let's take a look at some of the other things Maral says to explain this. In the footnotes, the Rav Hartman brings other places where the Maral talks about it. Let's start in footnote number 40, where he explains this concept. Number one, says the Maral. This is from his discussion in the Gemara in Zvachim. Starting from the underlined piece in number 40. Ki hanivdal, that he who is distinguished or separated, eino misarev im acher. He's not literally mixed up. He doesn't intermingle with others. Ki kol iruv hu harkava. An iruv, by definition, a taroves, is something we're mixed up. When you talk about Hilchos Borer on Shabbos, so in order to be dealing with Borer, there has to be a mixture in front of you. If the things are not mixed together, that's not Borer. I can do whatever I want. I have to create a mixture. A mixture is when things are intermingled. They're mixed together. The Yosef hayelo ma'alo nivdelas min hagashmi. Yosef was somehow, he had a ma'alo, he had this element to him that was separate from the physicality, from gashmi, from mundane elements. Zezesh Shiramzul Maral writes, Eva told us, Yaakov, Yosef, quoting our pasuk, shahayadoyme Yosef ha'Yaakov, that Yosef was the most similar in this regard to Yaakov. The Yaakov hayakadosh v'nivdel b'yosef mikol ha'avos. Yaakov was the most kadosh v'nivdel from all of the avos. The Maral writes elsewhere, there are three brachas in the beginning of Shemona Esrei. The bracha of Avos, Gvuros, and Kedusha. First bracha of Avos is okay. Avram, we start with Avraham. The bracha of Gvuros is Keneged Yitzchak. And the bracha of Kedusha, Hakel HaKadosh, is Keneged Yaakov. Yaakov has that status of being the most Nivdol, the most separated, the most Kadosh of all the Avos. And which child of his most represented that in furthering that element? That was Yosef. Now, as you mentioned in 42, the Maral points out that this is exactly where the concept of anti-Semitism comes. And it comes from a place that, why can't we stop it? Why can't Klal Yisrael ever address the issue of Umos HaOlam trying to kill us? Because we live this concept always. We do. Says Maral in 42, Dugma Ladavar, an example of this entire concept that we read, is Yachas Umos HaOlam LiYisrael, the relationship between the nations of the world and Klal Yisrael. Ki Yadua Ma'od B'Sifrei Maral. The Maral often writes Ki Yisrael Nechshavim LiNivdal in relationship to the Avos. So Yosef was Nivdal from his brothers, but in relationship to the world we live in, Klal Yisrael is Nivdal from The Umas HaOlam, who are Chomri, they are the most mundane, the physical, and we represent the spiritual, beginning now in the underlined part, 2 lines from the bottom there. Yisrael Nivdalun Mkdoshim Min HaUmos. We are more Kadosh, we are more Nivdal. Sho HaUmos Noitim El HaGashmi. The Umos, they lean, they're much more relatable to Gashmi, to physicality. V'Yisrael Noitim El HaNivdal Min HaGashmi. V'Zehu Geder Yisrael. That's what it means to be called Yisrael. We have an element of that spiritual nature, the Ruchni element of us. Flipping over the page, he continues on the bottom. Oh, let's finish the thought before we get to that. So says the Maral, and we want to read the whole thing inside, that's exactly what's going on. The nations of the world come into contact with us, and they see something more Kadosh. We are. That's what Kla Yisrael represents. I forget who, but somebody's made famous. I'm sure you've heard this. I don't know if it's a joke, it probably never ever happened, but the Jew gets on a bus somewhere in New York, and he sits down next to somebody, and somebody starts yelling and screaming at him, why they think you're so great, and this, that, and the other, and he says, I don't know what you're talking about, I'm Amish. And the person says, oh, I'm so sorry, we really respect everything that you do. However, the joke, I'm sure, never actually really happened. However that goes, the Amish doesn't bother anybody in this country. Because nobody in this country thinks of them as holier. They're like, do your thing, that's really great. You think that buttons are bad, and you want to always use pins, and horse and buggy, like, Kol HaKavod, Gei Gezeinte to hate. That's really cute. We'll come visit you and look at you like a museum. But the world, America, doesn't look at them as holy people. Mm-hmm. They're not holy. You're backwards and old and archaic. And if you think that makes you holy, we're really happy for you. But no one, they don't look that way. But we claim that we are. That we're going to live in your neighborhoods, and we're going to have nicer houses than you, and drive nicer cars than you, and be holier than you. Wait a minute. You're going to do all those things, live in the same world as me, do the same things as me, sit in the nicer box seats at Turner Field than me, and claim you're holier than me? That you're more moral and more ethical? That arouses lots of stuff. But that's true. That is true. We are. That's what Klal Yisrael represents. We represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. We carry our Kedusha on our sleeves. We sometimes fail because we're human beings, but that's what we represent. We represent living in the world and sanctifying all of that. And the Umos HaOlam sense that and see that, and this sinna is aroused and always will be there. I'd be as Goyal Tzedek when something else is going to happen, and we'll figure out what that's going to look like when that won't happen anymore. But until then, says the Maral, this is the relationship that's going on. When you're Nivdal, you're not Me'urav, you don't mingle, and that's the truth. That's just how we deal with things. We just don't mingle. We always want to keep in whatever communities we're in. The first thing we do is we create our own stuff. I don't want to be part of the society at large because we view ourselves as Nivdalin. We're separate. I don't want it. So they don't. You're coming into my community, but you're keeping separate. It creates the same thing. Now, again, Yaakov and Yosef had it. They were just intrinsically on such a different plane. It created that. But that's what we represent amongst the nations of the world. The Maral brings. There's a famous statement the Gemara quotes from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who became one of the greatest Tanaim members of Chazal, Rabbi Akiva says at the end of the number 42. I have it underlined. The Gemara quotes him as saying, "Kishahayisi am haaretz." When I was an Am Haaretz, says Rabbi Akiva, Amarti, I used to say, Mi yitein li Talmud Chacham anashchenu kachamor. Give me a Talmud Chacham, I'll bite him like a donkey. Said Rabbi Akiva. That was the attitude that I had towards Talmidei Chachamim when I was still an Am Haaretz. So why didn't he just say I didn't like them? I didn't want anything to do with them. No. A Jew who's not in the Olam HaTorah sees those who are, and I want to break them, Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Akiva himself is made al atmo. Before I was in that world, when I saw it, I just wanted to destroy it. Where does that come from? Says Moral. It comes from Chazal explaining what Esav dealt with Yaakov, and what the brothers dealt with Yosef, and then it just trickles down to the Umos HaOlam, to Klal Yisrael, and then within Klal Yisrael, when, forget about someone who has no Torah knowledge, looking at somebody with it, and sees them as Nivdal, and then on a smaller microcosm, even within our own communities we have it, we just sense there's this hiring, someone's more Nivdal, very hard to deal with. Last point the Maharal brings out to express this. Maharal points out this takes place within ourselves as well. In number 43, the Maharal writes also from the on a piece in Gemara in Masechta Sukkah, he writes that this is why the Yetzer Hara specifically attacks Klal Yisrael and the Talmid Chachamim within Klal Yisrael more than anybody else. For the same reason, because the more that someone becomes Nivdol and Kadosh, so then there's more to attack and try to bring down. And he writes, Perish Dover Zeh, Kimishi Yesh, Lomayla Gedol, Yosem, Imashu, Lashar Adam. Anyone who has a greater level than anyone else, Nechshav Dover Zeh, Kiluhu Yotze, Min HaSeder. It's as if he has left the regular order. The regular order is everybody else. And now he's distinguished himself. He's gone beyond that. And therefore the Yitzhahara attacks to try to be mevatel that maila asher hu chutz min shir hamugva. This is the normal, this is the boundaries. This person has gone beyond the boundaries, and that causes the Yitzhahara to say, what business do you have being beyond those boundaries and trying to knock the person down back into the regular boundaries, so to speak. And therefore Yisrael asher yarshu maila ha'elyona ha'yotze chutzay, we who have inherited this maila from the avos, this would explain, for whatever it's worth, the Maharal will explain, the Yetzirah that Klal Yisrael has to deal with is far stronger than the Umas HaOlam. Klal Yisrael gets plastered in the news for doing this wrong or that wrong or the other thing wrong, and the nations of the world say, how can they do something like that? So the Maharal would say, I'll tell you how they could do it. You, the Umas HaOlam, within the regular boundaries, you don't understand the Yetzirahs that a Yid is dealing with. It's fundamentally different. In the same way as the Gemara says, Komi Shegoldo Mechaver, Yitzro Goldo Mechaver, as a person rises in his own personal growth, as you rise, the Yetzirah rises with you. So that the Gemara itself says, I think it was Abaye, saw a young couple walking along a path. And Abaye was so suspicious that he ran after them to stop them from doing anything. And then they were just taking a walk. And Abaye comes back and he says, I don't understand. If I would have been that guy, I never would have made it. I never would have been able to do something like that. So Gemara says, I know, Abaye, you don't understand. You're so much greater. The things you struggle with, that simple guy, he doesn't have that Yetzirah like you do. You can't even understand what it's like to be a normal person because you're not normal. So you're... Taivas are different, Yetzaharas are different. You can't relate, because you really can't. You are dealing with different things. Says the Maharal, Klal Yisrael as a whole deals with that also from the Umas HaOlam. The things that we struggle with are because of our Maila, are different. It doesn't look good for us out there in the world. Because when we fail, we often fail in things that the world looks at us and says, that's just disgusting. How could you do something like that? So they plaster all over the New York Times. And we deserve it when we fail. But, I would say it's all part of a big picture that's taking place. And this, again, just a fascinating concept. That's what the Shiftei Ka we're dealing with, Yosef. Torah says, Eila told us Yaakov, Yosef. This is the primary child of Yaakov. It's Yosef? How can you say that? Why is Yosef the principal child of Yaakov? Because they both had the same things happen in life. They were both hated. They brothers tried to kill them. Says, well, that's indicative. That's not really it. It's not just that they went through those two experiences. It's because they both had a Maila Elokis. They both had that godly element to them which distinguished them from their brothers. And their brothers saw that in them and couldn't handle it. Tried to kill them. Tried to bring them back down. Now, the Maharal doesn't give us any Eitzah for, well, how does one deal with that? He just expresses, as Chazal do, that's the reality. That's what it's like to have a Maila Elyona. That's what it's like. So I guess it's helpful, beneficial for us. When I read this, I was just very moved by it, in terms of seeing that. There are always people, this is what I'm imagining experiencing. There is always someone who I would look at as being higher, more, better than wherever I am. And this is helpful, because then when that first thought is, I don't like that person, instead of, I want to be like that person, it's a Rabbi Akiva approach of, I want to break them. I want to make them stumble. I want to show and prove they're not so great. That's where this comes from. It comes from a Maila Elokis that elevates and distinguishes one, and then for those of us left behind, it's hard to deal with. So when we know what we're dealing with, it's easier to deal with. That's what I found out of this. The Shifte Ka, we're dealing with that. Esav is dealing with that. The Umus HaOlam deal with it with us, and we deal with it amongst in our own communities. We deal with it as far as getting past that, and then moving on to, I would like to be like that, as opposed to just wanting to break and pull that other person down, and seeing when I feel that, what you're feeling is the recognition of a Maila Elokis. You're recognizing what it's like to be more Nivdol and Kadosh and Ruchni than wherever it is that we're holding, which I've just always found this to be a fascinating insight. So says the Maral, he writes a little bit more, but that's the basic gist of this thing. Questions, comments? Do we enter what some of the things that have come up? Yeah.
This just seems to fly in the face of how right here the Parsha is describing Yosef, and even Rashi says, you know, that he was playing his hair, his eyes, and he's telltaling on his brothers, and he's got a nice coat, and they don't. And I mean, so it seems like the reason they disliked him was because he was lording it over them, their dreams, and it didn't seem that, here to that, see that Ma'ale Elokim.
That all would be true. In other words, if he didn't have it, and he lorded it over them, they would probably not really care very much. In other words, why is he tattling on them? Because he sees them doing something wrong. He's on a plateau above, saying they're misbehaving. In whatever ways Chazal say they were misbehaving. Why does he get the coat? Because Yaakov sees in him something different than the rest of them. Those are extreme, except for the being a nar. That's a separate issue of playing with this there. But there was those were all expressions of he's different. He's not one of us. He's somehow above. And whether it comes out as a 17-year-old expression is certainly true, but it actually is all part of that.
Because those dreams also.
The dreams for sure. Now, everything really is exactly this. Now, all the things that happen at the beginning of the parasha is Yosef distinguishing himself as different from his brothers. Everyone's bowing down to me. I have this coat. I'm the guardian of correct behavior. They're all being Nivdal, and that doesn't work. That's very difficult.
But they all understood it once they saw him as king or vicar.
Right. That's probably why. And then why did they then want to start to kill him? As we asked earlier. In other words, now he's literally lording it over us, claiming to be the king.
No, but they didn't want to.
They didn't want to kill him.
No. Once they found out he was Yosef, they all hugged each other.
Oh, no, at the end of the story, you're saying.
Correct. In other words, then they came to the conclusion, which eventually you hope that happens, that they go, okay, you have your place, we have our place, and
right.
We're all cool.
Right, that would be analogous. I know that in the yeshiva world, that would be when the guy in the yeshiva who's like separating himself actually becomes the Rosh Yeshiva, then it's easy to deal with. Like, oh, he's not just one of the guys who's just better than the rest of us. Oh, he's the Rosh Yeshiva, so it's okay.
So that's part of the eventuality of Klal Yisrael.
That's exactly what happened. What will happen in the Emos HaMashiach, that exact concept. All of a sudden, it's not just, oh, we were supposed to be the same, but you're not the same. It's, oh, you're actually the king. You're actually the Am Kadosh, the Goy Kadosh, and the Mamachas Koyhanim. Oh, then it becomes like you're actually the prince.
Makes sense to everybody.
Correct. In other words, when I have to deal with a prince is easy. To deal with my friend who acts like a prince is much more difficult. Especially when he's actually better than me. Then I really don't like him. Because he's acting like a prince, but I don't know that. Why are you the prince? And he just seems to be better, more talented in every way. So in a sruchniistic way, says Moral, that takes place also until it's actually just established that that's the way that it's going to be.
And you lose the desire to want to kill.
I'm assuming that's what's going to happen. I hope that's what's going to happen. It seems that way from the Navi. Yes, when in Yemos HaMashiach, that's what's going to happen. That's what it sounds like for sure. All right. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.